Turn with me to the book of Matthew, chapter 4, beginning from verse number 8. Again, the devil taketh him up into an exceeding high mountain, and showeth him all the kingdoms of this world, and the glory of them. And he said unto him, all these things will I give thee, for if thou wilt fall down and worship me. Then said Jesus unto him, get thee hence, Satan, for it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. Where's Morafa?
Yes.
All right, so what I want you to do is to extract the Lucan account of the temptation. Extract it, because there's an additional information in the Lucan account that we need to look into in order for us to see in a more broader perspective. Lucan account. Have you found it? Please listen to this reading before we begin our journey in the scriptures.
Yes, sir. Luke chapter 4, verse 5. And the devil, taking him up into an high mountain, showed unto him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time. And the devil said unto him, all this power will I give thee, and the glory of them, for that is delivered unto me.
Now, this is the addition that we find in the Lucan account that is not in the account in Matthew. Jesus, in the Lucan account, said, no, Satan said, that all these things I will give unto you, because it was delivered unto me. It was delivered unto me. In the Lucan account, Satan tells the fact that he was not the original custodian of the things that he was presenting to Jesus. Once upon a time, something happened that delivered those things unto him. And that account in the book of Luke gives us a connection with the book of Genesis, and that's the emphasis I want to bring to you today. Now, in the book of Genesis, and I think I need to go to the book of Ephesians. Book of Ephesians will show us the New Testament arrangement. There's a New Testament arrangement in the book of Ephesians chapter 1. In Ephesians chapter 1, which is the aspect of scripture that reveals God's blueprint, it reveals God's eternal purpose. And there is no other book of the Bible that reveals it as graphically as you will find in the book of Ephesians chapter 1. In Ephesians chapter 1 verse 3, what we see there is a budget that God has put in place in order to fund his purposes upon the face of the earth. You must understand that God builds from eternity into time. And in order for God to build into time, he must have concluded what he wants to do in eternity. That's how God operates. Concludes it in the timeless dimension, and then he begins to build it into time. Now, so what you see in the book of Ephesians, chapter 1, verse 3, is the budget that God puts in place in order to ensure that that which he has concluded in eternity finds expression without hindrance in time. Now, in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3, he said, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, Why is he asking us to bless God? He's asking us to bless God because God has already blessed us in his eternal purpose. Who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings? And where are the blessings domiciled? In the heavenly places. Now, so this is the New Testament structure. Because someone might ask a question. Because God, in the New Testament structure, has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. That distinction had to be made because it's not only the realm of Christ that is in heavenly places. We also have spiritual wickedness in the heavenly realms. So that form of distinction was necessary so that we understand the aspect of the heavenly places that we are referring to. And he says that he is talking about the regions of Christ. Is that clear? Now, someone might ask a question and say, you have blessed us with all spiritual blessings, but you decided to domicile the blessings in Christ. Why didn't you domicile the blessings in my name? It's just like a bank account. And the name that the bank account holds is the name of Christ. Meanwhile, the content of the bank account includes the budget that covers your own destiny. Did you get that? All right. So the question is, why is it in the name of Jesus? Why is it not in my name? So you see, that question is what was obtainable in the garden. In the garden, all of those things that God had available for humankind was tied to a man called Adam. God is so powerful. God is so powerful. So what he did was that he endowed that first man with the potential to warehouse all the other men that will come out of his loins. I can't imagine that. So he gave unto Adam all of the privileges that are needed in order for him to father trillions at least from the time of Adam till now, nobody can really account for how many men have walked this world. And all of that potential was girded on his loins. Everything that was going to happen in the world of that time was tied to Adam. Now, I told you that in the spirit realm, we have seven spiritual laws. One of the laws that I spoke about is a law of servitude, and you find that in the book of Romans, I believe. It's a long time I studied that. Let me look for the scripture. Romans chapter 6, verse 16 is the first law of the spirit realm. And it seems that Satan exploits this law much more. In Romans chapter 6, verse 16, the Bible says, know ye not that to whom ye yield yourself servants to obey, his servants ye are, to whom ye obey, whether of sin unto death or of obedience unto righteousness. Now, watch this. Now, if I decide as a believer, as a Christian, to begin a journey of immorality. Are you there? I will not come into bondage to immorality the first 1, 2, or 3 times that I'm involved in it. Now, as I continue on that path, a time comes when the demon spirit that is responsible for that immorality. You are not following me. Now, to that demon spirit, my acts of immorality is worship to that spirit. So because of my consistency in immorality, and the demon keeps receiving worship, the demon now wants to continue receiving worship. So the demon comes to aid me to continue in immorality. So at that time, I'm no longer, my will no longer has authority to change my life, because a spirit is involved. And I intentionally worshipped that spirit with the kind of things that the spirit likes. So the spirit has come to enable me to be consistent in that line of worship. Now, at that time, it is no longer a new year resolution. You know, when we're about to experience a new year, people write down the kind of things that they want to see change in their life. But it's unfortunate that if a spirit is involved, you're already a slave to that line of action. And the fact that you become reasonable and cognitive, and you pen down new year resolutions, will not help the matter. You have already become a slave to that spirit. And indeed, you will need deliverance in order for you to be free, off the hook. How many of you still remember when the children of Israel were going to meet Joseph in Egypt? They strolled into Egypt. Huh? They just walked into Egypt like this. But you realize the day they wanted to leave. So that's how you walk into immorality like this. You'll be greeting people. But when you have arrived, it will take the hand of God to liberate you from what you have decided to sell yourself under. The law of servitude is the law that compromised Adam. Adam never knew that if he decides to obey what Satan was recommending, are you there?
Yes.
He will become Satan's slave. And one thing you must know about slaves is that slaves are not entitled to property rights. So all the things that God has ordained for humankind, he kept it in the name of Adam. And unfortunately, because Adam was not acquainted with the law of servitude, he sold out when he decided to obey Satan. He became Satan's slave. Are you there? And everything that was kept under his hand was transferred to Satan. So you will find in the book of Luke that Satan was saying that the things that he is presenting and offering Jesus were not originally his, but they were delivered unto him. Do you realize that you, by acts of carelessness, can deliver things that God has given to you to Satan? In the same way, the Bible is saying that if you decide to become a person of righteousness and you stick with righteousness even when sin is popular, you stick with righteousness even when corruption is popular, a time comes in your commitment to righteousness that the spirit of righteousness will take over. And even when there is a legitimate reason for you to shift from righteousness, you will not have the capacity to do so because you have become a slave of righteousness. So, should I say something to you this morning? You must be a slave to something. I choose to be a slave to righteousness. But you must be a slave to something. The way you came into this world, you are not going to go back in the same mold. You will serve something. Man is a creature of servitude, a creature of service, a creature that is designed to worship. You must serve something. And that which you decide to serve becomes your Lord, becomes your master. So on the strength of that, everything that was committed to Adam was transferred to Satan. Oh my. Whenever I read that scripture, I take inventory of my life again. Because I've seen people that God anointed. And because of the anointing, they now sustained the stature of leadership. If God wants to raise a leader, what he does is that he puts an anointing on him. Because leadership is the ability to influence people. Not to manipulate people, but to influence people. You see, when there's an anointing on you, you are attractive. People are drawn to you naturally. Because the anointing has a way of improving their lives. So for positive reasons, they'll be drawn to you. Are you following? I have experienced that. For positive reasons, people are drawn to. In fact, once upon a time, somebody said about me that I speak too bold. I cannot. He calls my boldness pride. Okay, so proud man. Yes. Oh my God. So he was now afflicted. They now told him that the person that has the anointing, that is a specialist in dealing with this kind of your problem, is that man. After about 5 years of insulting me online, he humbled himself, and because the anointing makes you attractive. He really needed that change. And I was available under the Lord Jesus to minister unto him from the anointing that God gave me. So it means that even though people don't like you, the anointing makes you a leader. And they will not but have reason one day or the other to come to you, because the anointing has pedestaled you in a state of leadership. Are you there? But you see, an anointing can be upon you, and that same anointing attracts. And because you did not develop the character to be beautiful at close range, the anointing, you know, anointing attracts people. They are seeing you from afar and they say, wow. But you don't have the character in order to be even more beautiful at close range. And then what the anointing brings, your character now destroys. So Satan begins to benefit. He has a harvest from your life because you still have his tools. The anointing is doing its job of attracting people. But because there is no character, the people that are attracted to such an anointed person, what he does with that influence, he doesn't steward that influence properly because there's a character deficiency. Now, in that arrangement, Satan is benefiting from whatever the anointing is producing. Can you see that? Is it still possible for you to deliver what the anointing is producing to Satan? So, I take inventory of my life. Anytime I get to the book of Luke and I read that statement, I see an outlet, a possibility that which God is doing in my life, the devil can have a legitimate claim to a part of the harvest because I delivered it unto him. Now, so let's go back. Can we go back? Go back to Matthew chapter 4. In Matthew chapter 4, you will notice in the presentation in Matthew chapter 4 that the ultimate reason for this temptation is not even the first temptation, is not even the second temptation. It borders upon the matter of worship. Like I said last Sunday, it is difficult, impossible for you to understand the reason why Satan came to tempt Adam. The reason why Satan tempted Adam and what he wanted to gain out of that temptation was not clear in the book of Genesis. But you see, it happens to be that Jesus is the last Adam. So we see Satan tempting Jesus. This temptation of Jesus, you must understand the background. The moment Jesus was baptized in water, he was also baptized in the Holy Ghost. And when the government of the Holy Ghost was activated on the life of Jesus, The first line of action that Jesus was moved into was to go into the wilderness and be tempted by the devil. It's like a football match. You play first leg home, then you play second leg away. So what happened in Genesis chapter 3 was home. We lost at home. We lost at home. So in Jesus now, they say, you go to the wilderness. Go to the wilderness. It's an away match. Now, so in that arrangement, it was Jesus that was going in search of Satan to tempt him. In the arrangement of Adam in the garden, in Genesis 3, it was a serpent that came to tempt Adam. But now Jesus is being moved by the Holy Ghost to go into the wilderness so that Satan can tempt him. You don't understand that? Are you following? He was led into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. There are a few implications for that. First implication is that Jesus arrived at the place of temptation before the one that was supposed to tempt him. A couple got married and I called them. And I told them that Satan normally visits couples. Satan will come. In fact, the message I preached on their wedding day was the colonial masters. That was the title of the message. And the meaning of the colonial masters was that God set up a garden and he put a man. Man, are you there? Man happens to be the only creature that was created in the image of God. Two, man is the only creature that is given legitimacy to operate in the two realms, spiritual realm and physical realm. Because man has a spirit which is calibrated to be able to function and to relate with the spiritual realm. And man has a body of earth that gives him legitimacy and capacity through his senses to interact with this physical realm. Not even God has what it takes, legitimacy to operate in both realms. Not even God. Because God is spirit. Think about that. Okay, you are not thinking. You don't want it. Only man has that license. Are you there? It's a powerful being. It's a powerful being. With his spirit enabled by any spirit being that he acknowledges as his guardian, he can enter and participate in the realm of the spirit. But you see, how you see the realm of the spirit will be determined by the spirit that gives you access into the realm. So a lot of people see the realm of the spirit through the vista of a spirit of error. Oh my. Okay, let's leave that. When we are ready to talk about man, it's a long journey. When we are ready to talk about man, we'll talk about the spirit component and what your regeneration did to you. And how that you are supposed to operate like a transformer. You bring from heaven to implement upon the face of the earth. It's a technology. You are capable of that. And everyone that is here that is born again is capable of bringing a technology that is in God, that is unique to you, into this world. So we are not trying to copy people. We are trying to manifest our uniqueness in God. Those days when we were younger ministers learning under our masters. Are you there? People were copying how the masters were talking. That the more you look like, you speak like, even if the master has an accent issue, you now create that accent too, so that it will look like, yeah, you are wearing his spirit. That was one of the things I never did. Because if you are using a cup of a tea bag, Lipton bag, and you soak it into the tea, water of tea, and it diffuses. You take the same Lipton bag and soak into another water of tea, you will see that the concentration will be different. It means God doesn't need that person two times. Doesn't need. That person was only needed that way for his own generation. So allow your uniqueness to find expression. Are you there? Now, so man was the only being that was given the capacity to operate in the spirit realm and in the natural realm. Are you there? Man. Like I said, was the only being that was created in the image of God. So image is connected to authority. Because he is in the image of God, he is capable of carrying God's delegated authority. And because he is in the likeness of God, he is capable of representing God. Are you there? But man decided to become Satan's servant. And there had to be a return leg. This return leg is the match Jesus was to play with Satan in the wilderness. And Jesus was led by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. Jesus came to the tempting grounds before the tempter. I told that family that Adam was in the garden and there were two colonial masters. In the book of Genesis chapter 2 from verse 13 to verse 15, you will see God's manifesto. He brought his manifesto to Adam, told him what plans he had for Adam and what Adam was supposed to be doing in his plans. In the book of Genesis chapter 3, we see Satan. Satan is also presenting his manifesto because these two colonial masters are battling to see who can govern man. It means a man is a conduit being. It's a conduit being. Anything that governs him, he reflects what governs him. Oh, you're not there. You're not there. You're not there. And because man was created like, I hope you know that the Greek word for man is anthropos. Anthropos, which is the being that was created to look upward. Now, that word anthropos reveals the relationship between the moon and the sun. The moon does not have light, but every light that the moon reflects is gotten from the sun. But the moon will need to angulate itself properly in order to be able to receive light from the sun. That's how man is, anthropos. We were created to look upward. It is the dimensions of God that we see that we can reflect. And we don't have light of our own. So because of that, the shape of man's creation is the shape of worship. Worship. Are you there? Worship and service. That's the shape of man. Okay. You are not following. Let me give you a few scriptures. Okay, these scriptures I'm reading to you are scriptures that have to do with the way you were designed. And he spake a parable to this end that men ought always to pray and not to faint. That is Luke chapter 18, verse 1. He's saying that you were designed as a creature of prayer. That's what that scripture is saying. Humankind ought to pray always and not to faint. So if you see the design for man and the scriptures that talk about design. Another scripture is this. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. It means that man was created to be a being that is supposed to be implementing the proceeding word of God. If I check your life and you don't have a diary where you store the things that God has written about your destiny, about your life, it means that you have not started receiving the proceeding word of God. You have found other ways of existing. Meanwhile, the prescription is that man is designed to live by the proceeding word of God. Are you there? That means man should not live by his wisdom. Man should live by the instructions of God. Can you see that there is a superior entity in the life of man that is supposed to direct his steps? Can you see that there is a superior entity that man is supposed to be praying to? Oh, you're not seeing that vision. So man is a creature of worship. In fact, the excellency of the capacity of man is going to be achieved when he is in sync with worship. It's a worship entity. So when Satan came into the garden to convince Adam, what Satan had in mind was that he wanted Adam to begin to worship him. If Adam begins to worship him, it means Adam now has been made his servant. He must bring Adam to a point where Adam is also worshiping. When Adam begins to worship him, then he feels Adam, and Adam will begin to reflect him. Adam will begin to represent him. Adam will begin to do his will. Adam will begin to carry out his instructions. Adam will become his instrument. But you will not know that was what he was getting at in the book of Genesis until he came to Jesus, the second Adam. So when the Holy Ghost led Jesus into the wilderness to be tempted, you know, I told you that it was Jesus that was looking for Satan. It was not Satan that was looking for Jesus. Satan was not aware that Jesus was in the wilderness. But in order for Jesus to make Satan aware that he was in the wilderness and he was here for a battle, Jesus now did something that he was not instructed to do. The instruction he received was to go into the wilderness and be tempted by the devil. But when he now got into the wilderness, the devil did not know he was there. So Jesus decided to begin fasting and prayer. Anybody that fasts and prays consistently will receive a visitation from the devil. You are not following me. I can hear somebody's thoughts. The person said, so, okay, this fasting and prayer is what is bringing Satan. That means we should not fast and pray so that we and Satan will have no reason to collide. That's what the person said. But let me correct your... This is how promotion was designed. In order for you to be promoted and to be given access to higher authority, they measure. Are you there? The measure, the rank that you carry is measured by the authority that God can entrust to you. So there was a preacher in Nigeria, I think, in recent history, God has not anointed any human being like that man in recent history. And I've met people that he ordained. I met people that he raised. And they told me about their first-hand encounters of this man. And one of the men he raised, I was with him in Chicago when he came into the U.S. And he told me about a scenario where they brought a dead person to this man. In fact, he was in the office and he began to hear noise downstairs. He looked out of his window. They put, pickup van. They put the corpse of a dead boy in the pickup van. The guy died in the night, the previous day, so they couldn't take him out. And then the next day, they put him at the back of the van and drove him to church. And the security people were trying to restrain them from gaining access to the church, but they overpowered the security people and they drove into the church. The man looked from upstairs and he came down. And this particular minister, who is a senior minister in Nigeria now, was talking to me about the experience. He followed him and they came. And they came out, saw the young boy dead in the pickup van. And the woman was crying and said, you know that this is your son. This boy is your son. You know how this boy likes you. You know how the man was just quiet. The woman was rolling on the ground. You know, I don't know how God made women. they are tied, so the soul tied to their children. Hey. And I was told that if the man becomes quiet like that, just give him some time. When you notice that his face will just change, then he lifts his right hand. Just know that that matter is solved. So if his face just changed, that's their anointing, changes. Then he lifted up his right hand and cried to that boy, and the boy rose from the dead. Rose from the dead. He did not only raise the dead in Nigeria, he raised the dead in fact, he was on a crusade ground, Germany, crusade ground. They brought a dead man and put on the stage. The man jumped from the stage. So one of the senior pastors in the city where I come from went to invite him for a meeting. So he said, okay, I'm going to come for the meeting. I will come on Friday. I will sleep. I'll preach on Saturday. Then I will sleep on Sunday. And then I'll go on Monday. Say, that would be a waste of. You know what he told that pastor? He said, what I can do, 100 of you cannot do it. So I will sleep on Friday. Because even if 100 of you are there, you can't do my own work. That is authority. That's rank. And before God can consider you a candidate to increase your authority, what you can do in the name of God will be determined by your authority in the realm of the spirit. And because you carry the image of God, you are a candidate to be a carrier of the authority of God. Are you there?
Yes.
Do you like authority? I will exercise some of it today. I have, you know, when I was saying he gave me authority over asthma, I was trying to teach you. Whether I shout or not, asthma will go. I was trying to teach you that the excellency of your life is a function of the level of authority that you carry. And as you like authority, let me tell you how it comes. You will need to fight Satan. So because I was saying when you fast and pray, Satan now knows your address and comes to you. Somebody say, hey, okay, we'll stop fasting. Then you will never grow in authority. Because when you encounter Satan and he comes to trade with you and he fails to achieve what he attempted on your life, heaven upgrades your authority. So for people that understand what I'm saying, it is better for Satan to come to you quickly and lose in that attempt, because it will guarantee that your authority will be reviewed. There is a conference we hold every year. It's called International Eagles Conference. How many nights do we pray for this conference? I think it's 91 nights. You know why? Before that conference and 1 week after that conference, Satan breaks loose. You know why Satan breaks loose? It is because I know my seasons. Let me give you an insight into my seasons. Anytime that conference holds and God achieves what he wants to do in that conference, my authority is reviewed. So, and Satan is aware of that. So, Satan doesn't want my authority to be reviewed. So before the conference or after? I have seen that pattern for so many years. So, because of that, I'm fasting. I'm fasting for months before that conference comes. so that the dynamics of the temptation, the attacks of the enemy that will be captured within that season, and we have what it takes to confront it and to cut it off. When that happens, a few weeks after the conference, I have an encounter. So, okay, now you have power over this. What do you have power over? It's because you've been running from the devil. Every night you are running in your dream, you are running and you are not moving, and you are doing like this. You are not moving, and demons are coming. You are there's so much effort, but you're on the same every night for the past 12 years. It means that your authority has not shifted, your authority has not advanced. The man of God said to the pastor in my city, "What I can do, 100 of you cannot do it." He was speaking about rank. Oh my God. That's a man that armed robbers, because Nigeria is hot, it's everlasting summer. So they opened the windows, opened everything for fresh air to come inside. He had received missionaries from the United Kingdom, and they opened the windows for fresh air to come inside. Those ministers from the United Kingdom, they live in winter. So they couldn't cope with closed windows. They opened the windows. As they opened the windows, armed robbers with guns now pointed guns at. So they ran to his room and told him that they were armed robbers. The man came out and introduced himself. "My name is so, 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 so." He asked the armed robbers, "Are you ready for me?" And they ran away. Because they know, if he can speak, once he speaks, someone that can raise the dead can kill. Authority. It means the way you deal with other people, you don't deal with me like that. Yes. So if you are not careful, you will think he is proud. No, it is authority that is speaking. The apostolic office travels with authority. The mark of the apostolic office is the authority that you carry. There are some things you don't pray about. If someone that has authority walks in, Satan walks out. And that kind of arrangement takes place when you encounter Satan and you defeat him. What he's offering you, he was not able to sell it to you. Heaven reveals your authority. You will discover, are you there? You will discover that Jesus' miracle ministry. Okay, go to Luke chapter 4, I think 16. Luke chapter 4, verse 16. Luke 4, no, is it 16? 14, sorry, 14. "And Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit into Galilee." Can you see how he returned? When he defeated Satan, his authority was revealed. Oh, you are not following that. His authority was revealed. That was how he returned. The way he went into the wilderness was not the way he returned. He returned in power. "And there went out a fame of him throughout all the region round about." His fame did not come from Facebook adverts, TikTok displays, short videos. His fame came from the authority he wielded. And I'm not saying there's something wrong with TikTok videos and adverts and flyers on Facebook and social media. Alright? That has its place. Advertisement and publicity has its place. But you see, there are so many people that will be attracted to you not because of Facebook. Because someone that encountered the strength of the authority that you carried testified to them and said, "I once was blind and now I see." Satan is looking for opportunities to put you in a position where he can have a harvest from your life. This was Jesus' response after all the presentations that Satan made to him. Get thee hence, Satan, for it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God. So, last Sunday, we established that it is thy God that you worship. Thy God, your own God. Now, the reason why it is needful for us to bring this out is because of the way your heart is designed. Your heart is an entry organ. Your heart is a faith organ. Your heart is a worship organ. Are you there? He said, with the heart, man believeth unto righteousness. Your heart can believe. Your heart is a love organ. Because of the complexity of the human heart, it is capable of creating gods. Doing what? Creating gods. You will now hear Jesus make statements like, you cannot serve God and mammon. It means that mammon will be demanding for human worship the same way God demands for human worship. And a man's heart can shift from God and he is into the worship of mammon and he doesn't even know that he has shifted allegiances. But so that you know, so that you are aware, when you worship, it is thy God that you worship. Thy God. And thou shalt worship the Lord. Thy. So when it comes to worship, it becomes specific. It becomes personal. It's not corporate. You might pretend that it is Jehovah you are worshiping. But in actual fact, it is your God you worship. So last Sunday, we now started trying to identify what are the symptoms that reveal that something is your God. We have five symptoms. Symptom number one is what we saw last Sunday. Jeremiah chapter 10, verse 23. Put it on the screen. That was the concluding scripture we used last Sunday. Jeremiah 10, 23. It said, O Lord, I know that the way of man is not in himself. It is not in man that walketh to direct his steps. Anything that gives you intelligence, that informs your direction, is your God. What is it that determines the direction, the choice you make, the path you take? You will have to seek your God in order to get direction. You see, God created man insufficient. Are you there? And your insufficiency is in various aspects of your being. And the reason why God did that, it was deliberate in your design. Because God has created the sufficiency for all your insufficiencies in the person of the Holy Ghost. The Bible says that the Spirit helpeth our infirmities. So infirmities is in plural. It is the Spirit of God that has been designed to help all our weaknesses. Are you there?
Yes, sir.
So that's the plan, that when you notice that you have infirmities, you become endeared to the Holy Ghost. That's the plan. But unfortunately, instead of the insufficiencies of every man to lead him to the Holy Ghost, it has led many people to other spirits, other entities. And I was studying that in India there are 3,000 known deities. Is that true? Oh, okay, they've reviewed it. Come. 300 million. You see, that's a lot of effort, a lot of research. No, most of you are not aware because you grew up in America. Well, because you grew up in America, I will not say so many. You can't relate to some things if I tell you. Oh, Jesus, help us. Some of the cultures in Africa, everybody has his own God. Apart from the community God, you have your own personal one, God. So each community person, especially a man, if you are a man in a community, when you arrive at the age of 12, 13, 14, 15, there is an age group, orientation that is given you. Are you there? This age group orientation will culminate in your initiation into manhood. And what it means to be initiated into manhood is to be taught priesthood, demonic priesthood. And then you'll be initiated as a wizard first. So you can now go and invent your own God after that initiation, because you'll be told how to make gods. The gods, which one do you want? Is it the gods that are in the forest? Those are the dwarves. They are the messenger spirits. So they will teach you how to relate with the dwarves of the forest. And if you are very, very interested, they will give you some things to take to the forest. Like anything made of beans and the milk of a cow. They say, take it to the forest. And when you put it there, so that those dwarves can kidnap you. When they kidnap you, they will teach you their language. You come back and become a warlock. Because you can speak to trees and speak to the wind. And you can direct thunder to assassinate somebody. So they initiate you, you become a man. And then if you want to walk with the spirits of the river, you will know how to set up an altar that will attract that spirit. So everybody has his own call. Jesus said, it is your God that you worship. Thou shalt worship the Lord. What? First sign of your God is the personality that you consult when you are confused, when you are anxious, when you don't know what to do, when you don't know what step to take. That personality you consult is your God. You can be coming to church, but when those moments come, you go to consult that personality. Jehovah is not your God. And just in case you are doing something like worship, it's not unto Jehovah, it's unto that God. I know you will not say amen anymore. You know, I'm not a politician and I'm not a pastor. I'm not this. Pastors know how to talk nice, talk well. Like Pastor Rufus, you will like his talk. I have the calling of an apostle. And I have a ministry of building people for Jesus. So I can't be convenient in my communication. Because it's a cantonment God has called me to raise, so that everybody becomes a soldier that Jesus can depend on. Because of that, I can't just come with flattery and excitement. No. Are you there? And so I've seen people in church. Did I tell you, okay, I closed the service last Sunday by telling us that a certain serious pastor was to receive an injection. They call in Nigeria tetanus injection. Tetanus. Tetanus injection. May you not have need to receive that shot. It is one of the most painful injections that it will, oh my God, you don't need it. You don't need it. So when they... There was a reflex action in response to this pain. Somebody like you will say, Jesus! You know who he called? is the name of the God in his village. And I don't want to call that God. So, Pastor, how is it that in your reflex mode, what comes out of your heart is the name of an altar? So you will now know that even though he went to theological school and he knows what to say in church, he had his God. And Jesus said, it is your God you worship. Second, so if you have a God, and Derek Prince, one of the men that God has used tremendously to bless my life and my ministry, he made a statement that I call a golden statement. Derek Prince says, if you seek from the devil that which you should only seek from God, then you make Satan your God. Please help me preach to your neighbor. If you seek from the devil that which you should only seek from God. Ah, you are not following me. Let's start again. Do it. If you seek from the devil that which you should only seek from God, then you have made Satan your God. Number two, Exodus chapter 20, verse 7. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain. You see, if it is true that that entity is your God, are you deaf? There is a reverence that your heart sustains when you are dealing with that entity. And you cannot trivialize any aspect or anything that has to do with that entity. Now, I see the way, you know, a lot of people play with God. And for those of us that are deep thinkers, my conclusion is that Jehovah is not this person's God. Because if you have a God, your heart will be textured to reference that God. When you notice that reverence for God is beginning to lack in the life of an individual, it's an indication of the fact that you may be thinking the person's God is so and so. Meanwhile, it's something else. Part of the evidences that you have a God is your attitude of reverence anytime that personality is mentioned or you are in a place that is dedicated to his name. I heard that the American idea of God, the man upstairs. So that kind of speaking is suggestive of the fact that the person's God has changed. Because if the person really has a God, you cannot separate your worship of a being, a superior being, with reverence. Reverence is a thing of the heart. The heart is, you see, he's coming. When you reverence him, he, forever and ever, amen. Oh, Jesus. With some thanksgiving and honor, our and mine belongs to God. Forever and ever. When God was teaching Jesus was teaching about the subject of prayer in the book of Matthew chapter 6. This was how he began his presentation. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Reverence. If your God is the one in view, you will reverence him. If you are not reverencing Jehovah, it might mean that he is not your God. And worship is to your God. Don't be comfortable around people that use God to crack jokes and do comedies. Don't join them. A time came in the African church, they get a comedian that doesn't have any record of salvation. Because the pastors believe that people should be depressed and full of anxiety. So they need a therapy. A therapy that Jesus doesn't have. So they go get a comedian to come to church to make people laugh. Now, what happened was an abomination of desolation. Because it was an indication of the fact that what we're doing was not ministry, it was show business. I marked all the pastors that were comfortable with that arrangement, and I knew that they were not in the service of Jesus. Number one, my feet will never visit that place. Number two, I can never listen to their sermon. Number three, before I depart from this world, I will caution my children, you can't go here, you can't go here, you can't go here, because there was a blasphemy that was accommodated in their church life, which revealed that they were not in the service of God. Jehovah was not their God. You don't play with issues of divinity. Do you still remember Uzzah? There was a prescription as to how to carry the ark from place to place. And suddenly there was a situation and Uzzah felt he has to help God. His intentions were genuine. His heart was right. But you see, he was attempting to help God in violating the divine prescription that was laid out to handle the ark. And the vengeance of God broke out. And the Lord ended that procession. Even though they were singing praise and worship to him, he ended the praise and worship session with death. Even those of us that preach, when you finish preaching, go back and ask. If God rises against you, it's a risk to be a preacher. When you finish the display, go back and report yourself. Did I do well? And sit before him all night sometimes. How did I do? And get a feedback from him. Power and might. Number three, are you there? Your God will require honor from you. There was a complaint that God had in the book of Malachi. Are you there? Morapha, read from Malachi chapter 1, verse 6. There was a quarrel that God had with the priests of those days. And that quarrel was around a certain subject. Now, I need to teach you how to deal with God, how to relate with God. You want God to be around you, around your household, around everything that you do. There is a way to make it happen. The same ark that killed Uzzah, when they took that same ark and put that ark in the custody of Obed-Edom, that means they checked the whole people on the streets close to the place where the accident happened. And they saw that if this person dies, no, we are going to have problem. We'll have problem. If the other one dies, no, he's too important. But if Obed-Edom dies, nobody, it won't affect anybody. So, because how will you say that you are moving an ark to your house and the last report of the ark was that he keeps on stopping? So Obed-Edom now will wake up in the morning and go and greet God and say, "The one that dwells in the ark, I know you are full of, I salute you. May your anger not be aroused. The reason why I came is to acknowledge that there's none like you." After a while, it was heard that everything the man did began to prosper. It was the principle of honor. If you have a God, you must be determined to honor your God. It's an act of worship. It's not every time you run to your God for a need, defend me, fight for me. There are times where you come to him and you say, "The only reason why I came, I don't need anything, is just to honor you, to acknowledge you." That's how to deal with a God. What I'm trying to show you here is that the priests became careless and they forgot the principle of error, of honor. And then what you find there are lamentations from the mouth of God. How pained God was that his honor was no longer acknowledged. And it is on the strength of this principle of honor that tithing was spoken about in the book of Malachi, chapter 3. You know, there's a battle these days whether we should pay tithe, whether tithe is Old Testament. You know, people don't allow the Bible interpret the Bible. Are you with me? I am for the Bible. I'm not for philosophy. How many of you remember Abraham? Melchizedek appeared to Abraham and offered Abraham bread and wine. And Abraham gave him the tithes of all. Think about that. Do you realize that Abraham lived when there was no law? What dispensation did Abraham live under? That's my question to you. Sister Pam, what dispensation did Abraham live under? Because there was no law then. Yes, it was the dispensation of grace. And I can confirm that from the book of Romans chapter 4, that Abraham lived under grace. And Abraham was saved. He was saved before the cross. Because in eternity, it was already concluded that Jesus was slain before the foundations of the world. And if you have that revelation at that time, you could enter into the economy and the benefits of salvation, even though the actual work on the cross had not yet taken place. God is going to honor your faith and save you by credit. You know, in America, we have something called credit card. And I've not been courageous enough to have one. Credit card. Because in Nigeria, we use debit card. You earn the money that you spend. But here, you spend the money and then you trust God to But it's a system. It's possible. Are you there? Stay with me. Stay with me. Now, so everyone that was saved before the cross was saved by a credit system. There were people that Jesus forgave their sins before he went to the cross. How did he achieve that? Because many of you see him only as Savior. Many of you do not know that he is also salvation. Go and sin no more. What's that? How was he able to save that person from that sin and forgive that sin when he had not yet gone to the cross? And the Bible says in him we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sin. All of that. You see, if you don't know God, that God lives outside of this realm, you'll be bound by space and time. So you believe that Abraham realized that God can save and there's something called salvation. And then he came to God. And then God now said, Abraham, you came too early. He will no longer be God. So Abraham was even saved. So Abraham, as a saved believer, was the one that gave Melchizedek tithes. Are you following me? Number two, you know Jacob? Jacob negotiated his salvation because he had not yet accepted the God of Abraham. Are you still with me? He told him, he said, if you put clothes on my back, you give me food to eat, you take me into the land I'm going, you bring me back again, then you will be my God. And everything that I have, I will give you a tenth part. See, he accepted and bound himself with an oath to give tithes before the law. Are you following?
Yes, sir.
And when Jesus came, Jesus was rebuking the Pharisees and the scribes and the Sadducees. He said, you pay tithe of anise, of cumin, and meat, and have forgotten, omitted the weightier matters of the law. Alright? Then he now corrected them and said, this you should have done, and not to leave the order undone. Jesus did not abolish it. Jesus said, make sure you also include in your menu that you dispense, include weightier matters of the kingdom in your menu. In the book of Hebrews chapter 7, the Bible now reveals that Jesus is the priest after the order of Melchizedek. He took tithes before, he will take tithes now. Meanwhile, tithing is not what I came here to preach. I'm just telling you that tithing is one of the acts of what? Of honor. It will interest you to know that in the New Testament, God requires something more than tithe. Are you there? You are not there.
Yes, sir.
The New Testament requirement is consecration. That means all you are and all you have belongs to God. But when you start tithing, which is 10%, this is the training. When you believe you have an obligation to God and you begin to remit tithe, God can now ask you to go and empty your bank account. It will be easy for you to do that because you have the tithing has already given you a sense of obligation, to fulfill the requirements of honor. What I wanted him to read in the book of Malachi, chapter 1, is the way God complained. He expressed his grievances because he was no longer honored in his house. God is not going to go to downtown to look for honor. He came to his house, but the priests have forgotten the ways of honor and they have led the people astray on the matter of honor. And God was complaining. Any man that says he has a God must honor him. Some of you have entered into some form of financial, establishment, and you've been running those your finances without any honor to God, and you're expecting God to be in the business and to sustain the business. It doesn't happen that way. You're expecting too much. You think you are smart. That's why you have that money. There are people that are smarter than you that have not had the privilege and that favor from God to be brought into the stewardship of resources. Honor. Once you miss it, you start becoming, taking God in vain, playing with God. And sometimes the fact that you are in error and you notice that things are still working is not a sign that you are in a good place. It's a sign that God wants you to be deceived until you are snared. See, somebody's boasting, I'm not paying tithe and I'm still prospering, my business is doing well. It's doing well today. The problem with the COVID test, you know COVID test? The COVID test only tests the person's status at the time the samples were taken. We don't know. So that person's joy is COVID test. He doesn't know what will happen in the next 1 hour. Yes, Morafa, read. Let me close.
A son, Malachi 1 verse 6.
Mm-hmm.
A son honoreth his father, and a servant his master. If then I be a father, where is my honor?
So God is telling Israel, if it is true that I'm your father, if it's true that I'm your master, where is my honor? You can't say you are in the service of a God that you do not honor. And there are many scriptures in the Bible that speaks about honor. Honor the Lord with your substance and with the first fruits of all your increase, so shall thy barns be filled with plenty and thy presses shall brought forth with new wine. When money hits your bank account, you become crazy. Your needs become God. But you need to put your needs aside and say, let us honor the great one. How many puppies do dogs give birth to on the average? Someone help me. 6, 8, 9. All right. And how many calves do cows give birth to? 1. Has it occurred to you that cows are more than dogs? Oh, you are not with me. And dogs, they eat cows every day. And they don't eat dogs in America. And there are more cows than dogs. And cows only give birth to 1. Dogs give birth to 8, give birth to 9, give birth to 6. You know why? Cows are blessed. So they survive. The mortality rate, infant mortality rate is 0.000. But dogs, as they come, that's how they die. Until today, we still have more cows. It's not the amount you are making, it's the blessing that is upon it. Please, I want to end this service, even though that's not. I want to end this service with this matter of honor. People think that Christianity, there are some secrets in Christianity that believers don't know. That's why some people are doing well, others are not. It's not a secret. It's in the Bible. It's not that you don't obey it. People go to consult Satan. As they are entering, they pull, remove their shoes. They are careful. But when it's God, they'll say, hey, hallelujah. The man upstairs. And we are not saying that in the presence of God, you shouldn't express your liberty. He is happy when you are like that. Oh my God, I don't. Book of Psalms, I would have shown you how God sees us. Say, like lambs that are prancing. So he's excited that you are excited. But don't cross the line. If you have a God, the way we know it is that you have a heart of honor. I know all the sacrifices that you have made in the name of the Lord. Yes, it's because he is your God. That's why you sacrifice like that. Nothing else can make you sacrifice like that. And he acknowledges that. There must be honor if we say we have a God. Yes? Yeah, go on.
And if I be a master,
where is my fear?
Seeth the Lord of hosts.
Okay.
Unto you, O priest, that despise my name. And ye say, wherein have we despised thy name? Verse 7. Ye offer polluted bread upon
polluted bread. I don't want to go into all these matters. No, I don't want to go. You will say, I came this morning prepared. I didn't even know I will use this scripture. So I'm innocent. He came to. No. They have brought polluted bread. The reason why they could do it is because there was no honor left in their heart. And then in the day of trouble, the person is now wondering why God did not rise up to defend him. You already manifested evidence that you did not have a God when there was no honor left. Do you get that? Honor. 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 Most of the time, my God zone is my shower. I hear God easily when I'm in the shower. So it's a powerful place. If I have the opportunity to build a house, the shower will be big. Every other place can be small, but the shower, that's my God zone. Yeah. Okay, in case of Elijah, he had a juniper tree. That was where, as a young prophet, that was where he grew the prophetic grace. And he became a national prophet. When he encountered Jezebel, he had to trace his God zone. So the shower is my place. And as I go there, he gives me a song. Sometimes the songs, they are not on the bass clef. They are not on the treble clef. I just sing it as it's coming. And it's very easy for me to hear him when I begin to sing those songs. He said, okay, can you, when you finish taking your bath, go send this person this money. That person is in trouble. Help the person. Send this one. So I receive instructions in the shower almost every day. Almost every day. He will not bother speaking to you if he knows that you don't honor him enough to obey. Meanwhile, I end with Acts chapter 5, verse 32. Put it on the screen. Acts 5, 32. Please, when you get back, can you promise that you just read Malachi chapter 1, then Malachi chapter 2, then Malachi chapter 3. Then you get the whole gist. Our generation is guilty of trivializing God. We are trying to remove honor from the mix. And what you will have is a powerless religion. Because the day you cry, he will not respond to you. Yes, have you seen my scripture? This is Peter speaking. And Peter says, we are witnesses of these things. And so is also the Holy Ghost, whom God has given unto them that obey him. It means that there's a dimension of the Holy Ghost that God gives men that honor God enough to obey him. They consider him worthy to be obeyed. That is the attitude you have towards your God. And Jesus says, you only worship your God. So if you are guilty of dishonoring him or guilty of not honoring him, it means that it has not dawned on you that you have a God yet. I'm not saying you are not saved. I'm just saying that it may be that you are in a position where you cannot move the hand of God because you have not been careful, diligent to fulfill the requirements of honor that is associated with the deity that you worship. Are you still with me? We're going to take a moment and just worship God with a song. Are you following? Worship him with a song. Now, you know, have you read the book of Acts chapter 13 when it says, as they ministered unto the Lord and fasted? What does it mean to minister unto the Lord? What does it mean to minister unto the Lord? Is it just to sing? Is it not just to sing? It's to allow yourself to be led by the Holy Ghost in bringing him royalties that are due his name. I wanted to take you further to the book of Psalms to show you how that... Are you there? David made some salient statements. It will take time. That's the reason why I stopped. He made some salient statements that every one of us must acknowledge. For instance, you hear David say, worship the Lord, worship his beauty and strength, glorify his name, give him the worship that is due him. He uses that word, due, just like your rent. They say your rent is due. And if you don't respond, what happens? Oh, I know, in America, you know that. That's how the glory due his name. You've been owing. Something that is due is running. It's running and it's counting. And a time comes where you need to present the due. Huh? That's how there is also a due date. God is expecting to get glory that is due his name from you. And it is running, it's counting. And when the time comes, he comes to look for that glory and it's not available. The reason why you can be careless like that is because it has not dawned on you that Jehovah is your God. There are things that are due. I tried to study worship from the life of David, and I saw something I have not heard any preacher preach in the book of Psalms. I say, hey, no wonder God moved on behalf of this man. The rent is due. There is a glory that is due his name. How many of you still remember Achan in the Bible? Achan hid the accostings in his tent. What is an accosting? An accosting is something that is due to a deity. And then a human being now goes and carries the thing and keeps it in his house. The thing is accursed. If you are not following, you are not. See, the gods of Africa, they are terrible gods. Somebody now says carrying a ram to go and give as an offering to a spirit from the water. Then he goes and he ties the ram by the river. Then he remembers that there is no meat in his house. Then he runs back to the river and says, hey, I'm not giving you again. That thing now is accursed. Are you there? That thing is a mark of dishonor. The spirits that he manipulated, he no longer owns it. So the spirits have right to kill him. Many have died that night. You still remember the vessels that from the house of God and the king of Babylon, he took those vessels. Those vessels were dedicated to Jehovah. It means apart from Jehovah, they don't have any other use. They have an exclusive use. They will only be used in the service of Jehovah. In fact, you cannot even take them back to the market where they were bought from, because it has the touch of Jehovah on it. And a foolish king of Babylon, Nankin, did throw a party and felt that he needs to spiritualize the party by bringing the vessels that were taken from the house of God for him to drink wine. The wine was still in his throat when a strange writing began to write on the wall. Mene, mene, tekel, ufasi. There's a glory that is due his name. Maybe next Sunday, we will look into the glory due him. You'll be amazed. I learned that from David. Oh my God. Can we take a moment to exercise our spirits? A man that ministers to God is a man that knows by revelation that I am insufficient in myself. I don't have eyes. Give me eyes. I don't have hands. Give me hands. It's insufficient. He's saying that my physical hands, even though I have physical hands, my physical hands cannot sustain me. Give me hands. Blessings and glory, wisdom, thanksgiving, and honor, power and might, belongs to the Lord forever and ever. Amen. 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 Blessing and glory and glory, wisdom and thanksgiving. Amama Lito say. And also, and on all, belongs to the Lord forever and ever and ever and ever. Oh. Amen, 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 amen. Blessing and glory and glory, wisdom, thanksgiving. He belongs to the Lord forever and ever. Amen. One more time. Amen, 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 amen. Blessing and glory and glory, wisdom and spirit, yeah. Sovereign and over mama line of abode, power and man, belongs to the Lord forever. Listen to me. If you know about honor, and it is, you know it, your worship will be different from the worship of the next person. Because you understand that doctors can give you drugs to sleep, but they cannot give you drugs to wake up. when you worship your God, is one of the ways to get him committed to you. Oh, forever and ever and ever. Amen. Power and my power and my. Power and might. Depth of your being, power in my time. Power and might. Yes, I'm Utaika Memamudu. Yes, I'm in a silent Mamuku seminar. Yes, in a non neko bamina like Obeman. I say Samuna Kulebo Bunia Sanima. Power and might. Mamone, mamaneo, mamaneo, sima, sima, mama, motole, mama, lae, forever.
Kama male ko sanile poko mamure kama saile. Ya meno sana bonia se sasile. Semo manamo salabona. Ya ika yeko sanina momona. Ika nore na iso sana menakone. El amor es imana babona. Eko do, eko mana. Samina laiko sana mamone nani. Si mamo de sera minako. Semina ito se kamama de landa mama do. Power and might, power and might. Be unto him, be unto him, our God, forever and ever, forever and ever, and ever, and ever, and ever. Your due, the fruit of our lips, the substance of our lives, that it might be pleasing in your sight. I love Kobenalite, Mama. Power and might belongs to the Lord forever and ever, ever, Lord. Semina like of a banana sigue, a sigue la boboria, mamma, mana hile. Sabina comba mana. Shower him with the fruit of your lips. When you worship him like that, he begins to show you what you cannot see. He takes care of fights that you are not capable of winning. Oh. Thank you, Father. heavens are open. The heavens are open. Thank you, Lord. We magnify your name. In Jesus' name, we have worshiped. So today, Lord, we say we repent from being careless. We repent from being ignorant of that which is your rightful due. We upgrade our lives and emphasize the fact that you are the very object of our worship. Satan will not extract worship from us. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. There's someone in this congregation. The spirit of death has been following you around. And it is God's will after this moment of worship to cut off, to sever the hand of that demon. Father, in the name of Jesus, that one that death has been hunting, death has been appearing to, dead people have been appearing to in dreams. Death is showing himself. Father, in this congregation this morning, and concerning those participating online, we cut off the yoke of death hunting this soul. We cut off this darkness that has formed around the life of this individual. We cut it off in the name of Jesus Christ. Hey, that covenant that has empowered death around your family, around your siblings, today I challenge it in the name of Jesus. Your hands off. Take your hands off. Take your hands off. Take your hands off. Take it off. In the name of Jesus. Oh. I roll away that stone. I roll away that stone out of his place. Yes, so I destroy the power of death. I destroy the power of death. I destroy the power of death. I destroy that power. I command that power. Let this soul be in the name of Jesus Christ. Ilamo seke ilamo kalia sika bekaito kobi matia la honde. So we speak life. We speak life. The spell of death is broken. The spell of death is broken. It's broken. It's broken. It's broken. It's broken. In the name of Jesus. Yes. Yes, we release that poison, that which was transmitted into your life that is responsible for your the health conditions that you cannot explain. Let the yoke be broken. Oh. Power and might.
He will smile. The Lord gives him moments of ready smile. Ready smile. Any treachery, any form of treachery, any transaction, any open door that has given Satan access to the lives of the members of your family that is seeking to bring delay, the protocol of delay that God has not ordained into your life, today we stop that program, we end that program, we remove that program in the name of Jesus Christ. Yes, yes. You will live, sister. You will live. You will live. You will live. Oh my God. You see, the Lord's presence is coming. But I have to stop because of time. Ziako pema minateli. Fatola apando opres kito benahila tale. Sheminai kopa monato askebalite. Igosketo brento kobina kusketalia. Oh. Whatsoever is not written concerning you, whatsoever is not written, whatsoever the Heavenly Father has not planted in your life, I uproot it, I remove it in the name of Jesus Christ. Prescofela muke, baite scomba, yakosela kida bantolio. There is a couple
in this place. You've been experiencing a season of stiffness, financial drought. I want to announce to you that season has come to an end. Oh.